Han Solo stood in the middle of Malatabuk's living room in her home on Kashyyyk, watching his best friend tenderly cradle his infant son. The moment that they'd landed, Han had noticed something odd. All of the Wookiees they met kept giving Chewie amused, sidelong glances and nudging each other. Chewbacca had seemed oblivious to the byplay, however, so eager was he to see his lovely wife. After all, the Wookiee hadn't seen Mala in nearly a year. And then when they'd walked into Mala's house, there she stood, holding a small bundle wrapped in a blanket in her arms. Chewbacca had stood frozen in the doorway, a look of incredulous joy dawning on his furry visage. Han had slapped his friend on the back with almost Wookiee force. Hey, congratulations, Chewie, you're a dad! After all his work, all his searching, Durga had been unable to establish even a tenuous link between Eric's death and either Tirawenza or Dasilajic, nor was there any evidence to establish collusion between them. It was time. I can manage to keep my head out of the noose if I'm just careful enough, he told himself. Even so, the price will be very, very dear, but I can stand the uncertainty no longer. Activating the comm system, the Hutt Lord routed the signal through the most secure channel. Perhaps Shizor will not be there, he thought, almost hoping. But the haze of the transmission coalesced into the translucent figure of the Feline Prince. Now that he'd committed himself to this, the Hutt Lord wanted to get on with it. He bobbed his head at the Black Sun leader and said, Prince Shizor, greetings. I've considered your offer of assistance in discovering my father's killer and would like to accept it now. I wish for you to use your intelligence networks and operatives to either confirm or lay to rest my suspicions. I must know who killed Eric. I will pay your price, within limits. Shizor drew himself up.
Lord Durga, you do me wrong. I want no credits in return, only your friendship.
The Hutt stared at the image, trying to read the real message through the prince's verbal sleight of hand.
Forgive me, your highness, but I suspect you want more than that.
Shizor sighed.
Ah, my friend, nothing is ever as simple as we would like it, is it? Yes, there is something I would request of you, a simple act of friendship. As head of Clan Basadi, you are privy to the planetary defenses of Nalhutta. I would like a complete rundown of the weapons and shields with exact strengths and locations.
Durga flinched, then forced himself to control his sudden fear and dismay.
Nalhutta's defenses? What could he possibly want them for? Black Sun can't be planning an attack. Or could they?
Worst-case scenario, Nalhutta was no longer necessary to Basadi. His clan could do without the glorious jewel conquered so long ago. After all, they had the Elysian system. And as for the rest of the Hutts, the non-Basadi citizens of Nalhutta, well, they were fast becoming his enemies anyhow. Durga glanced at the likeness of portly old Eric.
The information is yours, he said. But I must know.
Shizor turned away from his communications console to face Guri, a genuine smile tugging at the corners of his well-shaped mouth.
That was much easier than I thought it would be. The wedge has been driven deep now, and Durga and Basadi will soon split off from the other Hutts. You have the proof that Durga requires, Guri, do you not?
The HRD's expression did not change.
Of course, my prince.
Shizor nodded.
Wait 200 standard hours, long enough for it to seem as though we have conducted an investigation. Then you will deliver the material to Durga personally, he said. When Durga sees it, he will wish to move immediately against Dasilajic. Go with him, Guri. Assist him, if necessary, in gaining his revenge on Jiliak. But no harm must come to Jabba. Tirawenza, too, has a part to play in our plans, and should not come to harm.
Understood, said Guri. When Han Solo arrived home from the corporate sector, he was welcomed back with open arms by all and sundry, except, of course, Sala's End. Han headed right over to Lando's flat. They exchanged handshakes, backslaps, and a brief hug, then Lando stepped back to regard his friend.
Same old Han. Hey, let's go down to the Golden Orb. I'm buying.
Minutes later, they were seated at a booth, tall mugs before them.
So tell me what's been happening with you, Han said.
Lando fortified himself with a long drink, then said,
Han, there's something I have to tell you. I ran into Bria a couple of weeks ago.
Han sat up straight.
Bria? Bria Theron? How? Why?
Lando launched into a description of his recent adventures aboard the Queen of Empire.
You say she talked about me, huh? She still cares?
She cares, Lando said. You should look her up if you can figure out how to do it.
I might, Han said.
Kibik the Hutt stared at his cousin's hollow image in consternation.
"What do you mean the Talanda Till have brought their mates here?" he asked. "Nobody told me."
Durga, leader of Basadi clan, glared.
"Do you realize what this means, cousin? It means that we have lost our most important hold over the Talanda Till. Now that we no longer have their mates here on Nalhutta, Tarawenza and his priests could cut all ties to Basadi and Nalhutta."
Kibik drew himself up.
"Well, cousin, I can see how that would be bad. What shall we do?"
"You'll have to order Tarawenza to have all the female Talanda Till brought to Colony One and then shipped home to Nalhutta,"
Durga said.
"See to it personally, Kibik. I want you to be able to report to me that you watched them board the ship."
"But, cousin, what if Tarawenza says no?"
Kibik asked plaintively.
"Then you will have to have the guards lock him up until I can deal with him,"
Durga said.
"The guards will obey you, Kibik, won't they?"
"Of course they will,"
Kibik said indignantly, though privately he wondered if all of them would. Durga grimaced.
"Kibik, now is the time to take control. If you delay, the situation will only grow worse. It's possible that Tarawenza is actually planning a revolt against Basadi. Has that occurred to you?"
It hadn't. Kibik blinked.
"And in a revolt, cousin, who is the first to go?"
"The leader,"
Kibik said, his mind racing. Kibik was feeling threatened now, and he didn't like that. He realized that following Durga's advice and taking control back from the High Priest was definitely his best course.
"I'll do it,"
he said firmly.
"Now that's the spirit,"
Durga said approvingly.
"Call me and tell me as soon as the female Talanda Till are on their way home."
Tarawenza was in his working sling at his datapad. He looked up in surprise as the Hutt undulated his way into his office.
"Kibik," he exclaimed, "what is going on?" "Lord Kibik to you, High Priest," Kibik said. "I just spoke with my cousin Durga, and he tells me you've brought your female Talanda Till here in secret. He's instructed me to tell you that they must return to Nalhutta on the next ship."
Slowly, the High Priest drew himself out of the sling.
"No." Tarawenza's voice was flat and quiet.
"No what?"
Kibik was incredulous. No one in his life had ever refused a direct order from a Hutt overlord.
"No, I won't do it," Tarawenza said. "I'm tired of taking orders from an idiot. Farewell, Kibik." "How dare you? I'll have you executed. Farewell."
Kibik was completely befuddled.
"Are you saying you're quitting? Leaving?"
"No, I'm not leaving," Tarawenza said.
"You are."
His powerful hindquarters twitched, his thin, whip-like tail lashed the air, and suddenly he lowered his head and came at Kibik with a bellow of rage. The Hutt Lord was so taken aback that he didn't even have time to dodge. Tarawenza's horn slammed into his chest. The horn wasn't terribly sharp, but so powerful was the force of the High Priest's charge that it penetrated for nearly its full meter-long length. The pain was agonizing. Kibik roared in mingled terror and pain and beat at the Talanda Till with his little arms. He tried to swing his tail around to deal a crushing blow, but the room was too confined. Dimly, Kibik felt the Talanda Till's hands shove hard against the solid wall of flesh that was his massive chest. Then Tirawenza's horn, covered with hot blood and ichor, yanked free. Tirawenza slammed into his chest again, and again, and yet again. Kibik tried to shout for help, but all that emerged was a gurgle. One of the blows had punctured a breathing sac. Kibik's vision was clouding over, but he could still see enough to recognize what Tarawenza was withdrawing from a desk drawer. A blaster. With cold precision, Tarawenza aimed the blaster and used it to widen and disguise the wounds on the dying Kibik. He shot again and again until the massive body was a scorched horror, and the final jerks and convulsions were long over. While he was cleaning himself up, the Talanda Till decided on the best course. A terrorist attack, naturally. He'd say it was that Theron woman and her troops. No one would dare dispute his word. Just the other day, he'd closed the deal to purchase a turbo laser. He'd used this as an excuse to set it up in the courtyard. He, Tarawenza, was now master of Yalicia, and soon, soon, everyone would know it. Just a few more weeks to consolidate his power. He'd stop paying Basadi and use the credits to buy weapons. Durga the Hutt stared at the screen of his datapad and rejoiced. At last, Black Sun, in the person of Guri, Shizor's personal assistant, had just provided him with conclusive proof that Jilliak the Hutt, most likely abetted by her nephew Jabba, had planned Arik's murder, and Tirawenza had carried it out. Black Sun's evidence was mostly in the form of records of purchases and payments. The Dasilajic leader had purchased enough X-1 to bankrupt a medium-sized colony, and that X-1 had then been shipped straight to Tirawenza. There were also records of items that Jilliak had purchased and sent to the High Priest, valuable items that were now part of the Talanda Till's treasure collection. So I would not realize he was paid off. Durga noted with interest that Tirawenza had recently purchased a used turbolaser. He is obviously preparing for a defense of Yalicia, Durga realized. At any time now, he's likely to declare his independence. Durga's first impulse was to have Tirawenza dragged back to Nalhutta in restraints. But if Durga had Tirawenza removed, the sacerdotes, or underpriests, might refuse to perform the exaltation for the pilgrims. And without the priests to give them their daily dose of euphoria, the pilgrims might refuse to work. They might even revolt. Regretfully, Durga realized that before he could have his revenge upon Tirawenza, he'd have to find a new Hutt overlord for Yalicia and a popular, charismatic Talanda Till to act as high priest. A flashing light attracted Durga's attention, and he saw that his comm system was signaling an incoming message. The Hutt leader accepted the call and watched as the image of Tirawenza coalesced.
Your Excellency, Lord Durga,
the High Priest intoned.
I bring most distressing news. You must brace yourself, my lord. There was a terrorist attack here early this morning, just after dawn.
Tirawenza wrung his little hands in distress.
It was that Bria Tharan and her band of Corellian resistance fighters. Red Hand Squadron, they call themselves. They stormed the administration building, firing wildly. I regret to tell you that your cousin, Lord Kibbick, was caught in their fire and killed.
Kibbick is dead? Durga was taken aback. He hadn't really expected his cousin to be able to wrest control of Yalicia away from Tirawenza, but he'd never expected Kibbick to be killed. Or, more accurately, murdered. Durga knew Tirawenza's story about Bria Tharan was a lie. His sources had assured him that Red Hand Squadron was on the other side of the Outer Rim and that they'd hit an Imperial outpost just yesterday. No ship in the universe could have reached Yalicia by dawn.
Tirawenza has sealed his own death warrant by this, Durga thought. Can you manage for a few days without a Hutt overlord?
Durga said, forcing himself to keep sarcasm from permeating his tones.
I can,
Tirawenza said.
I shall exert every effort to make sure business runs as smoothly as ever.
Thank you, Tirawenza,
Durga said, and cut the transmission. Then he turned to the figure who had been standing in his office, patiently waiting while he attended to business.
Forgive me, Lady Guri, Durga said, inclining his head. As you can see, I have reviewed the information you brought, and it confirms my suspicions. Also, as you have seen, my revenge upon Tirawenza must wait for a more suitable time. But I intend to confront Jilliak immediately and challenge her to single combat under the old law.
The old law?
It is seldom invoked these days, but it is ancient Hutt custom that, given sufficient provocation, one Hutt clan leader may challenge another to single combat without legal repercussions. The victor is presumed to be in the right.
I understand, Your Excellency, Guri replied. Prince Shizor informed me that this was likely to be your reaction, as befits an honorable Hutt. He instructed me to accompany you and to do everything in my power to facilitate your search for justice. They boarded Durga's shuttle, and the trip to the Dasilajic Enclave took less than an hour by suborbital flight. The guards scanned both visitors and verified that they were unarmed. After a quick call, they were waved into the palace. Through the portal of the huge, almost bare audience chamber, Durga could see Jilliak working at a datapad. At the sight of his enemy, rage flooded the young Hutt's body. He quivered with bloodlust. Jilliak's massive bulk shifted.
"Greetings to Basadi,"
she said. Durga recited the formal words.
"Today I, Durga Basadi Tai, discovered that you killed Arik, my parent. I challenge you under the old law. prepare to die.
Ziliak bellowed in rage and swung herself off her sled.
You are the one who will die, upstart,
she growled and sent her flexible tail swooping up and around. Durga dodged, but not quickly enough. The tail slapped his back, bruising him, almost knocking his wind out. With all his strength, Durga launched himself towards Ziliak, butting her as hard as he could with his chest. Ziliak was nearly twice Durga's size. She was a middle-aged hut who was reaching the corpulent stage. Durga had one advantage. His youth gave him speed. But if she caught him with her full weight, even once, the battle would be over, and he knew it. Bellowing like two prehistoric leviathans, the huts slammed at each other. They hurled themselves against each other's chests, wrestling with their undersized arms as they sent their tails slamming into everything nearby.
If I can just outlast her, Durga thought and realized that was a very big if.
Han Solo had been going over shipping manifests for the mines on Kessel with Jabba when he, Chewie, and Jabba all heard a loud thud, followed by a bellow, then another series of thuds and muffled crashing sounds. When the three beings arrived at Jiliak's audience chamber, a beautiful young blonde woman was standing in the doorway. The woman shook her head and put up a hand to halt their progress.
No, she said. Do not interfere. Durga has challenged clan leader to clan leader under the old law.
To Han's surprise, Jabba did not bat the woman out of his way and go to his aunt's aid. Instead, he inclined his head in the hut equivalent of a bow. Han glanced into the audience chamber and saw Ziliak bring her tail down with stunning force. The smaller hut barely managed to dodge out of the way in time. The Corellian looked at Jabba. You don't want to stop it? Chewbacca echoed Han's question. Jabba blinked at them, his bulbous eyes full of cunning.
Durga is the leader of Basadi clan, he said. Whichever of them wins, I win.
But, Han stammered, I thought you were fond of your aunt.
Jabba looked at him as though he were a retarded Gamorrean child.
I am, Han, he said gently, but this is business.
Han nodded and glanced at Chewie. He shrugged. Sure, business.
Han, wait for me at my palace. I will join you later.
Durga was getting desperate. Despite his best efforts to wear Ziliak down, exhaust her, the older hut was still fighting with grim purpose. The long fight had taken them clear around the huge chamber as the smashed furnishings and the holes in the walls testified. Durga suddenly realized they were approaching Jiliak's sled. She must have realized it too, for suddenly she disengaged, and wheeling around, she glided toward the repulsor sled at her fastest speed, wheezing and sobbing for breath. Durga was right behind her, overhauling her. It was obvious to him that Ziliak intended to mount the sled, then use it as a battering ram against him. If she got atop it, he was finished. He caught up to Ziliak, heading for the controls, only to gasp and dodge as the Dasilajic leader swept her tail in a hard arc under the sled, aiming for his face. Durga reacted without conscious thought. Rolling forward onto his chest, bracing himself on his hands, he flipped his tail up over the top of his head. He aimed the tip of his tail carefully on the way down, sending it slamming into the power on button of the sled, depressing it. The repulsor sled fell like a stone, straight down onto Jiliak's tail, pinning it firmly. Ziliak screeched with pain, struggling to yank her tail free. Wriggling backwards, Durga positioned himself, then brought his tail down on Jiliak's head with all his strength. The Dasilajic leader screamed. It took five hard blows to drive Ziliak into unconsciousness.
Die, Durga thought, walloping sodden flesh. Die, he bellowed. Die!
He wasn't sure when she died, actually. At some point, Durga became aware he was pounding mindlessly on what was now a bloody, crushed ruin of flesh and brain matter. Ziliak's eyes were smashed holes, and her slimy tongue lolled from her mouth. Durga forced himself to halt, to look around. At the entrance to the room, Guri stood beside Jabba. Moving as though he were 900 years old, Durga managed to haul himself onto Jiliak's sled and activate it. He glided across the audience chamber. Guri stepped forward to bow slightly, respectfully.
Congratulations on the successful outcome of your challenge, Your Excellency.
Durga breathlessly turned to regard the woman. Guri, could you kill a hut?
Most certainly, she replied.
Then, kill Jabba, Durga said.
Guri shook her head slightly.
No, Your Excellency. My orders were to help you effect your revenge against Jiliak. That is accomplished. We will leave now. Durga made an abortive move toward Jabba, only to have Shizor's assistant step between them, her unspoken message very clear. We will leave now, she repeated. Durga glared balefully at Jabba, but the last of his strength was gone. He could only slump atop his repulsor sled, too exhausted even to savor victory. Jabba slowly approached his aunt's massive corpse. He could scarcely believe she was dead, and he knew he would miss her. But as he told Han Solo, this was business, for the good of Dasilajic as well as his own. Then, without warning, Jiliak moved. Startled, Jabba jerked upright, incredulous. She's coming back to life! His heart thudded wildly in shock. The massive corpse moved again, and then Jiliak's baby slithered out of her abdominal pouch. The little grub-like creature scooted forward, waving its little stubs, gurgling mindlessly. Jabba stared at it malevolently. He knew he would be confirmed leader of Dasilajic no matter what, but why leave any loose ends? Slowly, purposefully, he slithered toward his aunt's helpless offspring. The day after Durga defeated Jiliak, the Basadi leader was so stiff and sore that he could barely move. However, he managed to conceal his pain when Tirawenza called him, telling him that Kibik's body had been shipped home.
Your Excellency,
the High Priest said,
I need more guards, and therefore I have taken the liberty of hiring some at my own expense. It is my hope that Basadi will reimburse me, but I must have additional protection. These rebel raids cannot be countenanced.
I understand, Durga said. I will attempt to get more guards.
Thank you, Your Excellency.
When he cut the connection, Durga turned to Guri, who had just been taking her leave of him.
He is getting ready to make his move, Durga said. He is preparing to make his break with Basadi.
Guri nodded. I believe you are correct, Lord Durga.
Since the Elysian troops may well be loyal to Tirawenza, Durga said, I need some way to keep the High Priest in line until I can replace him. Thus, I have a request for your master, Prince Shizor.
Yes, Lord Durga.
I ask you to convey to him my request that he grant me some military aid. If he would send troops to Elysia, that would ease the transition, allow me to get rid of Tirawenza while keeping the sacerdotes and pilgrims content. In return for his support, tell your prince that I will offer him a percentage of this year's Elysian profits.
Guri nodded. I will convey your proposition, Lord Durga. You will be hearing from His Highness. Bria Theron was working in her office aboard her Marauder Corvette Retribution when a small image formed atop her comm unit. Bria stared in surprise. A hut? The only hut who had her private code was Jabba, so this must be he. The hut leader inclined his head slightly.
Commander Theron, I ask that you come to Nal Hutta immediately. I am now the leader of Clan Dasilajic since my aunt's unfortunate demise. We must talk.
Bria caught her breath. I take it you wish to reopen our negotiation regarding the Elysian Enterprise?
Yes,
said Jabba.
I have begun placing operatives on Elysia to take care of the Talanda Till. I am ready to proceed with the Elysian raid. It is time to put an end to Basadi's economic tyranny.
I'll be there in 2 days, Bria promised. Five days after Jiliak's death, Han Solo and Chewbacca visited Han's favorite tavern in the Corellian section of Nar Shaddaa. Han and Chewie stopped by the blue light most evenings. This particular one, they were standing at the bar, side by side, sipping their drinks, listening to another of the bartender's tall tales. The Corellian was dimly aware that someone came in and stood beside him, but he did not turn around. The bartender addressed the newcomer.
And what will you have, pretty lady?
Han reflexively glanced to his right to see the person the bartender was addressing, and froze, startled.
Bria!
Slowly, she turned her head and their gazes locked. Han's heart was hammering, though he was pretty sure his face was under control. She hesitated, then said, Hi, Han. He wet his lips. Hi, Bria. Long time no see.
She nodded gravely at the ridiculous understatement. I came to see you, she said. Could we sit down and talk for a minute? Han's emotions were mixed, to say the least. Part of him wanted to take her in his arms and kiss her until she was breathless. Another part wanted to shake her while screaming curses and accusations. Still another part wanted to just turn around and walk away, prove to her that she meant nothing to him. Nothing. But he found himself nodding. Sure. As he moved to pick up his mug, Chewie laid a hand on his arm and growled softly at him. Han gazed up at his partner, grateful for Chewbacca's sensitivity. Okay, pal, I'll see you at home. Picking up his mug of ale, Han led the way to a booth in the rear of the bar. You came here looking for me? Yes. When I saw your friend last month, he said this was one of your favorite hangouts. I took a chance you'd be here tonight. You're here on Nar Shaddaa on business? Yes, staying in those rooms above the smuggler's rest. I hear you're some kind of officer in the Corellian resistance, Han said. I'm a commander, she confirmed quietly. Han slanted her a look. Well, now that's impressive, ain't it? For a scared kid who never fired a blaster, you've come a long way, Bria. I just did what I had to along the way, she said. Promotions come fast in the Resistance. You should think about joining up, Han. It was said lightly, but some nuance in her tone told Han she wasn't kidding. No thanks, sister, he said. I've seen the Imp forces up close and personal. No way your rebellion's got a chance against them. She shrugged. We have to try. The Emperor is evil, Han. I think he engineered that whole business with the Battle of Nar Shaddaa just to get rid of Sarn Shild. Oh, yeah, Han said. Good old Sarn Shild. Darling Shild, wasn't it? He made such a cute couple. She winced at the sarcasm. As I explained to Lando, that wasn't what it looked like. It looked pretty bad, Bria. Not one of my better days, you know? To see you there cooing at him. Her lips tightened. I was on assignment. I know how it looked, but Shield wasn't interested in me that way. I was lucky. But I've done things for the Resistance I didn't much like, and I'll do them again if I have to, whatever it takes. Bria's low-voiced conversation broke off as a couple of smugglers slid into the booth opposite theirs. Han looked around. Place is filling up, he said. Want to get out of here? She nodded. Han followed her out to the street, and they walked briskly, without talking, until they were on a quieter side street. Han looked at her. You were saying... Han, I need your help. He recalled what Jabba had told him. With the assault on Yalicia? She nodded and smiled. Quick as ever. Yes, Jabba's bankrolling us. We're going to take the whole planet, Han. Our people have guts and loyalty, but most of them aren't seasoned fighters. My own Red Hand Squadron has experience, but we can't handle this job all by ourselves. Han stared at her in surprise and more than a little unease. Red Hand Squadron? You command Red Hand Squadron? She nodded. It's a good group. We've seen some action. I've heard of it, Han said. I've heard you give no quarter to slavers. She shrugged and didn't answer. Anyway, the Resistance needs help to get us through the Yalician atmosphere. Experienced pilots to guide our ships in. Han nodded. In return for what? Spice, Han. You know that Basadi has been stockpiling it. Choice Andrus, Rill, Karsunum, and of course Glitterstim, they've been trying to drive prices way up. There are warehouses stuffed full of it. We'll split the take with the smugglers. Han nodded at her. Go on. She looked at him. And for you and me, there will be Tirowenza's treasure room. Picture how much he's added over 10 years. Hundreds of thousands of credits worth of antiquities. He's bound to have maybe 1 million credits worth of stuff, maybe 2. Think about it. How many troops do you have? I'm not sure yet. I have to report back to our command ship for this sector. We've asked for aid from any resistance group that wants to help. There are a lot of Sullustans and Bothans on Yalicia. We figure they in particular may want to be part of the rescue.
And you're going to free the slaves?
We'll take them, along with our share of the spice. And before we leave, we'll reduce those factories to slag, along with everything else. We're going to shut that hellhole planet down for good.
Han considered.
What about the priests? The exultation could be a powerful weapon. I've seen it knock people on their butts who weren't expecting it.
She nodded. Jabba's taking care of them. They'll be assassinated before we ever land.
Han looked at her and felt cold rage wash through him. How dare she? Come back and ask me to get involved with her little revenge scheme.
You'd better get your timing down, Pat.
Yes, she agreed. This will be the biggest military operation the new Alliance has ever tried. We hope to get recruits from it, as well as the spice. Financing a revolution is an expensive proposition.
Han looked at her. And this is why you came to me. To get me to contact the smugglers for you, encourage them to join up with the Resistance for this little mission?
Han finally let his impassive mask drop.
So what you're saying is that you dumped me 10 years ago, ignore me that whole time, and then you come back thinking I'll help you put my friends' lives in danger. I don't trust you, Bria. I've heard about Red Hand Squadron, all right. You ain't the woman I used to know, and that's plain. I have changed, she said, her eyes holding his. I admit it. So have you. Lando told me you still cared about me, Han said coldly. I think you were lying to him, planning even then to use me. You don't give a hoot about me, about anything we used to have. You only care about your revolution, and you don't care who you walk over to reach your goal, he snorted. And all that bilge about Sarn Shield, sure, you expect me to believe a man like that would keep you around if you weren't a... Han finished with a word in Rodian used for the lowest class of streetwalker. Bria's mouth dropped open and her hand found the grip of her blaster. How dare you? I dare a lot these days, sister, Han said, and I say what I think. I dare to think you're a real lowlife coming back here this way. You can forget sucking me in again with your pretty face. I've changed, all right. I've gotten smart, smart enough to see right through you. Fine, she said, blinking back tears. You just turn your back on both me and a fortune. I don't call that smart, Han. I call it stupid. And the idea that a drug runner is putting on moral airs is really laughable, you know? I'm a smuggler, Han shouted. We have our own code. Yeah, running drugs for Hutts, you and Jabba, birds of a feather. The idea that she would class him with the Hutts was the last straw. Han spun around and started to walk away. It felt good to leave her standing there, looking after him. It felt real good. Durga faced Prince Shizor's image on his comm unit.
Guri has explained your difficulty,
the prince said.
I will dispatch 2 companies of mercenaries. Nova Force will help you keep Tarawenza in line until he can be dealt with, which should be speedily, my friend.
Thank you, Your Highness, Durga said. As Guri may have told you, I will share the profits from Yalicia with you this year to recompense you for your help. 15%.
30% for the next 2 years,
the head of Black Sun said.
And I do not negotiate.
Durga drew a deep breath.
Very well, he said sullenly.
Shizor smiled pleasantly.
Fine. The mercenaries will embark as soon as possible for Yalicia. It is a pleasure doing business with you, my friend.
Han did not sleep well that night. Thoughts of Bria and her proposition raced through his mind like an asteroid on a collision course. I can't trust her, can I? I don't want to see her, do I? He lay there, tossing and turning, punching his pillows in frustration until he could stand it no longer. Swinging out of bed, he dragged on clean clothes, then tiptoed out of the apartment, not wanting to wake Chewie. The smuggler's rest was on the border of the Corellian section. He tapped on the door.
It's me, Bria.
Han, he said. There was a long pause, then the locks clicked and the door swung open.
Come in with your hands up, Bria's voice said.
Han walked in as directed.
Just wanted to talk to you. I'm reconsidering your proposition.
You are, eh? She still didn't look friendly, but at least she holstered the gun. Han cleared his throat.
Maybe I was too hasty. Let's face it. I was sore about the way you dumped me. I had to get that out of my system, maybe. I shot my mouth off a little, he admitted. Wouldn't be the first time. Anyhow, it won't happen again, so I want in. I'll give my friends your proposition and help train your pilots. I'll bet some of the privateers would also want in. I'll talk to him in return for what you promised me. 50% of Tirwenza's treasure room, or 75,000 credits worth of the spice, whichever is more.
Bria considered.
And you'll be civil?
Yeah, Han said. I'm always civil to business partners. And that's all this is. Just business.
Bria nodded.
It's a deal. She leaned forward and offered her hand.
Just business.
Han took it, reflecting that she had a grip many men would envy. Durga activated his comm system. The connection took several minutes to establish.
Boba Fett, it is I, Durga, Lord of Basadi,
the Hutt said.
Greetings,
Lord Durga.
The flat voice conveyed nothing.
I'm a long way from the Outer Rim. What is it?
I wish you to take on a priority bounty,
Durga said. Boba Fett inclined his head.
You are willing to pay extra for a priority bounty? I must be adequately recompensed for turning my attention away from other assignments and concentrating solely on yours.
Yes, I am, Durga said. The bounty is on the High Priest of Yalicia, Tirawenza.
300,000 credits, Boba Fett said, and I will head back for the Outer Rim immediately.
Durga hesitated, then nodded. Very well. Timing is crucial. I wish to have you bring me Tirawenza's horn as proof of his death. But you must wait to make the kill until I have left Nalhutta and am within 5 hours of landing on Yalisha. You must kill Tirawenza in such a way that none of the other Talanda Til will know of his death for some hours. Understood?
Affirmative. Contact you and confirm the timing before making the kill. Make sure no other Talanda Til realize that he is dead.
Correct, Durga confirmed.
Fett out.
Durga ruminated about how pleasant it would be to have the bloody horn of the High Priest in his dainty hands. Perhaps he'd have it mounted and hang it on his wall. Over the next 2 days, Bria Theron and Han Solo traveled around Nar Shaddaa together, recruiting smugglers and privateers to serve as pilot guides and, in the case of the privateers, potential backup for her Yalishan operation. They stressed the easy pickings to be had on Yalisha, the wealth of spice stockpiled by Basadi. Many smugglers and privateers were intrigued by Bria's proposition, and they signed up in droves. It didn't hurt that Jabba was backing the Enterprise and urging those who piloted for him to go. After Bria and Han had recruited enough smuggler captains to have at least one smuggler per group of Rebel assault ships, they took the Millennium Falcon to rendezvous at the Rebel deep space coordinates. When the Falcon was on an approach vector to dock with the Retribution, Bria smiled at Han. You showed me yours, now let me show you mine, she said. Han laughed, and it was the most relaxed moment they'd had since they'd met. Beautiful ship, he said, admiring the Marauder Corvette's clean, streamlined silhouette against the starfield. All of the Rebel ships from the Outer Rim had been detailed to the raid. Han surveyed the gathering fleet and conceded that maybe they did have a chance. During his first day among the Rebel troops, Han ran into an old friend. Jalas, he exclaimed as the small, droopy-jowled Sulliston trooped into the Retribution's briefing area. What the heck are you doing here? Jalas Nebel pointed to his ragtag Rebel uniform.
What does it look like? The Elysian dream is now Dream of Freedom, and she's served the Rebellion well for several years now.
Han introduced Bria to the Sulliston, and she was pleased to at last meet the brave pilot who had saved them from Helot's shackle. At the end of their second day with the gathering Rebel fleet in their deep space rendezvous, Bria received a message that she was needed to meet with some potential allies from the Resistance on Ord Mantell. Han offered to take her there in the Falcon, proud of the chance to show off his ship's speed. Bria was elated that after their first meeting, the Resistance promised to dispatch 3 ships and 100 troops, plus appropriate support and medical personnel, immediately. As Han and Bria were preparing to board the Falcon for the trip back to the Rebel deep space rendezvous, a junior officer delivered a message flimsy. She scanned it. There's a small contingent of Tagorians who have volunteered to come along. They want us to pick them up on our way back. Han smiled slowly. Murg and Mrav, he guessed. It doesn't say, but it's a good bet they're part of the group, Bria said.
Can we?
Sure, he said, not meeting her eyes. Bria looked away, too. It was on a Tagorian beach that she and Han had first become lovers. It was a beautiful world, fraught with memories for both of them. They didn't talk much during the trip. Bria found herself so nervous that her stomach was in knots. She wondered how Han felt. Han eased the Falcon down onto the landing field bordering Karos, the largest city on Tagoria. A group of Tagorians were already heading out to the field, and Han thought he recognized one huge black male with white chest hair and whiskers, and there was a smaller orange and white female with him. Bria smiled excitedly.
Murg and Mrav!
The humans jogged down the ramp and reached the ground just in time to be seized and hugged so violently their feet left the ground. Mrav explained that there was a contingent of Tagorians who'd had run-ins with Yalisha over the years who wanted to be part of the assault. Han nodded. Well, we can get started any time you wish, he said. Murg shook his head.
Not possible until tomorrow, Han. Tonight, Han and Bria, our honored guests, yes?
Han looked at Bria and shrugged. Sure, he said. She didn't meet his eyes.
Fine,